We've been talking about the concept of Jannah on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah 201 of Surah Al-Baqarah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا عَاتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And there are some amongst them who say, Our Rabb, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the punishment of the fire. We've talked about how we are accountable for ourselves and that we write our own destinies. And we also have to accept that we are, what we are within will manifest itself however hard we try to conceal it. If you were to squeeze an orange, whether it be with a very sophisticated instrument or with a crude thing like a rock, all you'll get out of it is orange juice. And very, very often, for the problems that lie within, we look for answers outside or we blame others. There's a wonderful anecdote about Mullah Nasiruddin, and it is said that Mullah was once looking for something, some keys actually, outside in the street under a street lamp, and a passerby came up and said, is everything okay? And he said, no, I'm looking for my keys. So they both started looking for the keys, and then after a little while the passerby said, Mullah, where exactly did you lose them? Do you have a spot somewhere where we can concentrate on? And Mullah says, well, I lost them at home. So he said, then why are you looking for them here? He said, because it's dark at home, I've got no light. There's light here, so I'm looking here. And the anecdote reflects the fact that very often in life, when things are wrong, when we do things wrong, we blame everybody else but the real cause of the problem, which is ourselves. In fact, the greatest scapegoat we have is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we say, well, it was luck, or well, it was destiny, or God did this to us. He didn't do anything. He does khair. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In his hands is goodness only. So, with that thought in mind, let's go a little bit further. The next step is to look at the divine perception of success. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as falahat, or success. And in essence, that is being ahlul jannah. That is being those who are destined to go to jannah in this world. And we want to build up a psychological profile of this individual who is going to be ashabul jannah and who is ahlul jannah here. Let's compare that to our perception, recognizing the differences and the flaws in our perception. But first, what is Jannah? Now, there are two English words often used to translate it, paradise and heaven. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Jannah in 67 ayat. And these fall in basically three categories. The first category are the gardens of earth. And here, it's without being associated with a definite article, al or the. And let me give you some examples. For example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, that's Surah number 2, ayah 265, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَتَثْبِيتًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ جَنَّةٍ بِرَبْوَةٍ أَصَابَهَا وَابِلٌ فَآتَتْ أُكُلَ حَذَأْفَيْنِ. And the parable of those who spend their property to seek the pleasure of Allah and for the certainty of their souls is as the parable of a garden on an elevated ground upon which heavy rain falls, so it brings forth its fruit twofold. And then Allah says, فَإِنْ لَمْ يُصِبْهَا وَابِلٌ فَطَلٌ. But if heavy rain doesn't fall upon it, then light rain is sufficient. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah sees what you do. The next ayah does the same thing. There's an example of the word Jannah. Here Allah says, أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَعَنَابٍ تَجْرِ مِّن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ لَهُ فِيهَا مِّن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ وَأَصَابَهُ الْقِبَرُ وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءُ. Does any one of you like that he should have a garden of palms and vines with streams flowing beneath it? If he has in it all kinds of fruit and old age has overtaken him and he has weak offspring, فَأَصَابَهَا إِصَارٌ فِيهِ نَارٌ فَاحْتَرَقَتْ. and a whirlwind with fire attacks it, so it becomes blasted. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And Allah makes the communications clear to you, so you may reflect. Now we're not looking at those ayat, we're basically trying to give you examples of the way Jannah is used as a garden of earth, this time in parables. And there are many ayat on that basis. The second section, or if I can say, the second way Jannah is used in the Quran is where it's mentioned with al, but it has earthly descriptions. For example, it contains leaves and food. There's the essentials of life, because we see food, water and shelter coming up. Let's look at an example. For example, again Surah Al-Baqarah and Ayah 35, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْنَا يَا عَدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شَعْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And we said, oh Adam, live you and your wife in this garden and eat from it plentiful food wherever you wish, but just do not approach this tree, for then you will be of the unjust. And this basically is the Jannah of Prophet Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidah Hawa, where they lived. And in essence, it's an earthly Jannah in a mountainous region in which rivers flow and animals live. Because even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Adam and Sayyidah Hawa to come down to the earth, the word he uses is ihbitu. In Arabic, habata means when you're coming from a higher plane to a lower plane, but on the same realm, so it's on the same plane as such. The third Jannah mentioned, or the third place, or the third group of ayah that Jannah is mentioned, is with al, but now it's non-earthly descriptions, and the width is equal to the skies and the earth and the rivers underneath, and there's perpetual food and shade. Let me give one example of this ayah. In Surah Al-Imran, that's Surah number 3, ayah 133, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of this, where he says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Hasten to forgiveness from your Rabb, and a garden, and a Jannah, the extensiveness of which is as the heavens and the earth. It is prepared for those who have taqwa, who are God conscious. So, three sections. We're looking at the Jannah, and by extension, that means one who has reached or strived to reach his or her own full potential, and one who gains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's start by looking at the qualities of Ahlul Jannah as described by the Quran. See, if we look at them, the Creator calls successful, who He calls successful, He says in Surah Al-Hashr, Ashabul Jannati humul fa'izun, the dwellers of Jannah are they that are the achievers. First of all, so one, these are successful. This is what he calls success. Again, in the Quran, if we look, there is no gender bias. No bias whatsoever. Surah An-Nisa, ayah 124. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. And whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, and he or she is a believer, these shall enter the garden, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. Very, very fair. The third thing that we need to know before we go into the qualities is that the achievement of success is never beyond one's capacity. Nobody can say, but I cannot do it. It is not within my ability. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, that Surah number 7, ayah 42 says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And for those who believe and do good, we don't impose on any soul a duty except to the extent of its ability. They are the dwellers of Jannah. In it they shall abide. And the fourth thing that we've got to keep in mind before we go into the qualities of Ahlul Jannah is that the news of Jannah is given at the point of death. It's in Surah Al-Nahl, that's Surah number 16, ayah 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمُ ادْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Those whom the angels cause to die in a good state, they say, peace be upon you, enter the Jannah for what you did. So four things we've got to keep in mind first. One, success is Jannah. Two, there is no gender bias. Three, it is never beyond one's capacity. And four, the news of Jannah is given at death. Now, again, let's glean some ayat from the Quran, which will give us all the various qualities that Ahlul Jannah needs to have. And we will look at these one at a time before we go any further. The first quality we find, which comes in again and again and again, is Iman. And Iman is an easy word to say. We all say we've got faith, we've all got Iman. But what does it actually mean? Let me tell you a story I heard, and it really brought it into me. There were two womb mates. When I say womb mates, they were twins in their mother's womb. Let's call them Ego and Nafs. They were both talking, and Nafs tells Ego, "You know something? I think there's a life after this. After this darkness, there's light, there's a life, there's something beyond this." And Ego says, "Don't be so silly. This is it, mate. That's it. There's no more than this. You're fantasizing. You've got a problem. This is reality. Get real. This is what life's all about. This darkness, this wetness. Go and decorate the cord." Well, Nafs says, "I want to say something else too." He says, "You know something? All this repositioning, these pressures, these movements, these feelings of being closed in, it's like I think we're getting ready for another world. And I believe there's going to be a mom who's going to take me in her arms and love me and look after me." And Ego said, "Now that's just it. You've gone mad. A mom? You're absolutely mad. There's nothing like that. This is what life's all about. Make the best of it. This is just what destiny has handed out to you, this moving and pressure and feeling of being closed in. Just get a life." And Nafs said, "I hear her. I hear her voice. I hear soothing voices. I get the feeling of being loved." And he said, "God, you've lost it completely. Think about this. Do we believe? We always say, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.' Indeed, we are from Allah, and to Him we will return." When we say that Iman is believing in Tawheed, in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that what we're doing is reconciling our whole life towards one direction, towards the goal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reaching our full potential and doing everything in His way. See, there's so many ayat with Iman connected to Jannah. Let me give you one. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 82. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ." And for those who believe and do good deeds, these are the dwellers of the garden. In it they shall abide. There's a wonderful hadith which says, one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Abu Dharr, and he told Abu Dharr to wait somewhere while he went to an area called Harra. As he was coming back, he was talking to himself, and he was saying something like, "You mean even if they drink, they steal, they commit adultery, they will enter Jannah?" And Abu Dharr said, "Who are you talking to, Ya Rasulullah?" He said, "I was talking to Jibreel." And he says, "Jibreel was telling me that as long as there's no shirk, as long as there's no association of anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means your concept of Tawheed is the real concept of Tawheed, then whatever the human being has done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. But remember, it's a catch-22 situation. Because once you believe, once there's Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that which is wrong dissipates, just goes away from your life. What we've got to try and do is be able to reconcile Iman and reason. They're both powerful dynamics, but when we connect them both, we really get it right. Next major quality that is required is the Iman that we have within us must manifest itself in good deeds. Amilu Salihat. We just read the ayah, we'll repeat it again. Ayah 82 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And as for those who believe and do amilu salihat, who do good deeds, these are the dwellers of the garden, and in it they shall abide. What is a good deed? A good deed, first of all, what is a deed? There is first the conception, a thought of a deed. It then becomes an intention. And an intention works out a plan for its implementation. When intention and action are at par, and where we have a thinking of doing good because it is good, and expecting no reward from anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes amil al-salihat. In Surah Al-Dahr, we have the wonderful example of the Ahlul Bayt. What happened was, in the house of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra, Imam Hassan and Hussein, as children, were ill, and she keeps a nazar. She vows that she will fast for 3 days for them to get better. The whole house fasts, and every day when they fasted, as it came to the time of breaking their fast, there was somebody who knocked at the door. Either it was a miskeen or a yatim or a nasir, which means there was an orphan, there was a poor person, and there was a prisoner. And they gave all their food away. That means they gave their iftar away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Al-Dahr, or it's called Surah Al-Insan, and it's Surah number 76. Let's look at the ayat so we understand what it's talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yufuna bin nazri wa yakhafuna yawman kana sharruhu mustatira. They fulfill their nazar, their vows, and they fear a day the evil of which shall spread far and wide. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَعَسِيرًا. And they give food out of love for him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the poor and the orphan and the captive. And then they say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We only feed you for Allah's sake. We desire from you neither reward nor thanks. إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْتَرِيرًا. We fear from our Rabb a stern, distressful day. This is amil salihat. When people heard about this, when this ayah was revealed, many, many people gave away all their wealth in the way of Allah, thinking an ayah would be revealed. But now remember, they gave that wealth because they wanted an ayah to be revealed. Again, there's a wonderful anecdote of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Prophet Adam alayhi salam. All the animals that were there wanted to go and congratulate him. Now one in particular, there was a group of deer who went to congratulate Prophet Adam alayhi salam on him being the best of creation. Remember Allah says in Surah At-Tin, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحَسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have made the human being in the best of makes. So they go to congratulate him, and he places his hand over their backs. When they come back to the other deer, there's a wonderful fragrance about them. And the other deer said, where did you get that fragrance from? And they said, don't know. We went to congratulate Prophet Adam alayhi salam. He put his hand on us, and this fragrance came about. That's the musk that some deer have, a particular type of deer. The other deers ran to congratulate him, but nothing happened. So the intention must be khalisatan lillah. And that really is amilu salihat. I remember reading a story about a very famous children's writer. Let me tell you the story. There's a little girl who wasn't very pretty, and she used to get teased by all her other mates. won't even play with her. And every day she'd come home pretty sad. One day she came home really happy. And her father was a very successful industrialist, very successful man. Saw his child happy for the first time, and he said, "Today I see joy in you. What happened?" And she says, "I went to the park as usual, and nobody was playing with me. But there was a man who was sitting on a bench, and he called me over, and he said, 'What's the matter? Why are you so upset?' And I told him, 'Nobody wants to play with me because I'm not very pretty.' And he told her the story of the ugly duckling who became into a swan. Her father was so touched by this. Next day he asked his daughter to take him to the park. And he met this man who was unemployed, didn't have a job. And he sponsored him. He financed him to write stories. This guy was Hans Christian Andersen. And today his stories are translated in every language that you can conceive about. There's some beautiful stories he has. And that's basically what Amilo Salihat is. The intention must be very, very pure. Inshallah, we will continue this topic looking at the qualities of Ahlul Jannah.